And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Studio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative and just plain right. All right, we're back. The monologue being concluded. I've already got a caller. Let me grab that real quick. Oh, is that Steve? Yeah, Steve from Tennessee. Steve, how you doing today, man?
Hey, Phil, I'm doing good. Man, you nailed it with that. And I just wanted to say, you know, years ago I got something in a fortune cookie that applies here, and it said, minimize expectations to avoid disappointments. And I carried that with me forever, and I carry it with me in my heart. And Liz Cheney, you know, I think her expectations were that she was going to be some heavy hitter in a Bush, you know, a Jeb Bush White House, or maybe even a running mate.
Yeah.
And Trump knocked all those props out from under her on that and doesn't kiss the signet or anything else. And I don't think she can handle it. And as far as her bias, man, she's been biased from the get-go. And I think that's the root of it right there.
No, I think it absolutely
is. For what it's worth. There you go. I think her lust for power and politics is way deep, and she can't get over it. So maybe this election will help her get over it, if you know what I mean.
I do. You know, right. And she called. Hey, Steve, is she already gone? Is he gone? He's gone.
No, I'm here.
Hey, listen, you know, she talks about it being the cult of personality. I would say that her problem is more her than it is for Trump. Just Trump brought it out. What do you think?
I think so. Yeah, I think her self-image is way overblown, man. You've seen people like that.
Oh, yeah.
I remember a guy that made 06 in the Navy, and we all said, he's gone Hollywood. And you wouldn't even know him. You know, he was a totally different guy. So, you know, you got to remember what side of the bed you get up on and where you put your pants on and where you grew up. And I think she's forgotten all that. So there you go.
Hey, Steve, great call, man. You have a good day, bud.
Yes, sir. Same to you. Bye.
Bye. Man, he always has good commentary. Every time. Every single time. Like, he could co-host this show, I believe. I'm just saying, if I need a guest host, I need to find out if Steve from Tennessee is available. The whole idea here and Boomer, you've been tracking this. She, you know, she's the vice chair of the January 6th commission.
Right. I cannot believe that she's still holding on to that. Am I right?
Yeah, not only holding on to it, but now the object of her wrath at the January 6th Commission is the object of her wrath in life in general. I mean, she's not even pulling any punches. It's not like, I mean, you know that every judge who takes a bench comes in with his or her own background that may influence some of the decisions, but justice is blind, right? Well, they're sitting almost in a tribunal form right now, and she's sitting up there every single day just, these are the facts. We have to deal with this. And not allowing any cross-examination, not allowing true expert testimony or witnesses to be presented, and just basically it's an opportunity to slam and slam and slam. Well, now, and I just looked at it. Where's the name of her new group? I just saw it up on Fox a minute ago. Yeah. Okay, the name of her new group is called The Great Task. Great Task.
That's because, a good name.
Yeah, The Great Task. Apparently, it's a phrase from the Gettysburg Address. You know, last night she quoted or compared herself to Lincoln. She, you know, Abraham Lincoln, he lost several races before he eventually became the president. Hint, hint, hint. Wink, wink, wink. Nod, nod, nod. And so, you know, right now the speculation is she's looking at running for president. But here she is announcing her new group is called The Great Task, gets its name from the phrase in the Gettysburg Address, and Cheney invoked Abraham Lincoln when she called for the Republican Party to go back to its roots, and her quote is that literally, we've got to get away from Trump. We've got to get away from the cult of personality, she says. And then where's the phrase? I actually quoted it. Yeah, here it is. I will do whatever it takes to keep Donald Trump out of the Oval Office. Meanwhile, I will maintain my position on the January 6th Commission.
Wow, so she's literally just going after, I mean, it sounds more to me like that right there. It says, I'm just going to go after Trump. I don't really care if I'm going to be the president. I'm just going to make sure he's not.
And it's exactly what it is. And keep in mind, this organization, this January 6th commission, they say that their end goal is to potentially refer charges to the Justice Department. Now, DOJ can do what it wants to do, but look at the DOJ and the way they've been doing lately. They just raided Trump's house. They're looking for reasons.
Right. So they're pulling for things. They're trying to...
Yeah.
Search under the mat. They're like, they don't know.
Yeah, and so the bottom line is Liz Cheney's lost her mind, in my opinion.
Wow.
And she's also truly lost her objectivity. Someone somewhere soon, like you know, well, Pelosi won't do it, but McCarthy, her minority leader, Congressman McCarthy, needs to come out and say, all right, you got to get off that commission. You can't say these things. You can't form a group like this and then pretend that you could sit up there and do anything meaningful. You've been a joke the entire time. Get yourself off the dais. We need somebody else in there, and make a public call for her to step down.
Mm. Yes. I mean, I completely agree with that. I mean, it's insane to me thinking that that's all that she's grasping for in her own like little bubble. And it's like all she's focusing on is herself.
Yeah. Yeah. Do I hear music in the background?
Yes, you do.
I thought I heard something. We're just talking. Remember, Night is hanging out in the studio. All right, folks, listen. We got plenty more. Coming up next, number one on the Triple Dipper, the inflation spending spree. Wow, like epic levels of spending going on right now in politics. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right. We are south of Birmingham, north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, the Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi. Of course, we have Alabama thrown in for good measure. I was just on a roll there. Just the words, I don't know where they come from sometimes. They just happen. Listen, we've got so much stuff going on here. Like, we're sitting here in the new studio, and Boomer just keeps thinking up ideas. Boomer, you actually had a t-shirt design going this morning for Task Force Monkeypox.
Yeah, we're working on it. I think it's going to be a great giveaway. People are going to love wearing it.
I mean, it looked hilarious. Had the big monkey face with a tongue hanging out. Task Force Monkeypox. We got to work that out. We don't want it to be misconstrued.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not. Yeah,
we're not those people.
No.
No.
All right. Task Force Monkeypox shirts are in the design phase right now. The other thing Boomer's working on was a texting deal, so we're looking at that. I'm intrigued by this, Boomer. Intrigued.
Yeah, we're working on it just to see. You know, we may be trying this out sometime soon. We may not. We'll see what happens. But I thought it would be really cool to be able to, you know, text answers in or a quick question if people didn't want to call in. Because, I mean, I understand, you may not want to call in every single time. I tell my wife to call in. She's like, no, I don't like my voice on the air. So, so I just figured, hey, you know, for those people out there that would just want to ask you a question but don't want to really call.
Is that the way she says it? No, I don't like my voice.
She's not listening. Right now, I'm going to be in trouble.
All right. Aside from all that, we got so much going on right now. The show, we're having a good time doing this too. Getting the biggest kick out of finding new ways to make the show accessible, to do things, you know, to kind of liven things up, and just having the best time with this. But a lot of the stuff you can find is at our website, rightsideradio.org. So, yeah, rightsideradio.org. No matter where you are in the whole wide world, go to the World Wide Web, go to rightsideradio.org. And if you're like outside the overly broad range of our AM/FM capability, you can just click on Listen Live and you can hear the show anywhere in the world. And I like to say, no matter where you is, there we is. But we've also got the whole live streaming thing going now. So, you know, now we have to dress for TV and not for radio. Got to wear pants.
I know. I mean, we both wear pants, but
yeah, okay.
Now that we have to,
I know. Yes. We got the live stream going. We got the podcast going. Hitting 71,000 downloads of the podcast. We've got, you know, the things that we write that get published around the state are on there. It's just cool to me to watch how things are going. What are you doing, Boomer? You got something? You about to say something?
No, you were right. I was about to call you out because I thought you were wrong, but you were completely right.
Well, I'm just plain right. You
That's
know that.
Exactly right.
All right. All right. Do some push-ups. All right. Here we go. All right, listen, number one on the triple dipper, the inflation spending spree. All right, so first of all, we are still in a recession economy. I don't care what the Biden administration says. The reality is when you have two consecutive quarters of downward trends, you have always seen that declared to be a recession. All right, now, the Biden wants you to, no, that's not the way it works. No, you know, inflation is now zero and we're not in a recession, and please. But the bottom line is the inflation is, you know, it's a gradual increase in the prices of goods and services throughout the economy, and, you know, you don't want it. It means everything costs more. Well, inflation has spun out of control here lately. 9.1% inflation in just the last 12 months. That's huge. That's a 40-year high. I mean, we haven't seen this in a generation just about. So here's the bottom line. How do we get there? What are the causes? And just to break it down for a minute before I start getting into the other aspects of this part of the triple dipper. I mean, the bottom line is, over time, inflation basically means that a dollar is worth less than what it used to be. Here's one study. Got a thing that came off Forbes. It's basically a discussion of inflationary causes. One of the things it does say right now is that, and this, by the way, this article came out in July 27th, so just a few weeks ago. Says this in the last, since 2012, 10 years ago, if you earned $3,000 a month, to maintain the same level of buying power in today's economy, you would need to make $3,800 a month. That's where we are. That's a significant increase. That's almost a 25% increase. So that's significant. Well, so different kinds of inflation, all right? And by the way, I'm not an economist. I didn't stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. I just do what I can to try and prepare the show. I learn sometimes while I'm doing it. One of the first means of creating inflation, they call it demand pull. Demand pull is basically when goods and services are out there and there's an increased demand for goods and services, but there's not enough increase in the supply. So you've got more people wanting what there is less of. In the short term, you know, businesses can't scale up quick enough to meet the demand. And when that happens, very often prices go up. All right, so sometimes it's prices go up in order to stem the tide. Sometimes it's prices go up because they recognize they can make a buck because you'll pay it. Other times it's because they've got a competitive market and they've got to stay on track with their competitors. But the bottom line is demand pull inflation, they call it, is when there's a greater demand and it pulls inflation up because you cannot keep up the goods and services. The other one's called cost push inflation is basically just that there's an increase in demand that drives up prices, but there's also an increase in production costs for the businesses themselves. And so since they have to spend more to make the widget, they have to pass that or push that along, that price increase along to the consumer. So the cost push is basically coming from the manufacturer, so to speak, or the producer of the service or good, because it costs them more to create the service or the good, and so it passes along to us. Well, you know, when you do things like demand that wages be higher, guess what? That gets passed on to the consumer. It's not like it just disappears. So all of you trying to unionize your Starbucks right now, just keep in mind that $4 cup of coffee is going to be a $6 cup of coffee because we're going to have to pay you more. It doesn't just disappear. Well, they can absorb it. They're a rich corporation. They need to pay their fair share. I got news. In the free market, corporations don't, you know, go into business to just spend money. They go into business to make money. And so if they're losing their margins, the first thing that's going to happen is the consumer is going to experience it. And then guess what? Less people want your product because now you're more expensive. Cost push inflation. All right, then there's devaluation. Devaluation can drive the economy. And devaluation is basically when, you know, your currency loses value compared to other currencies. And right now, the dollar on the world market is less than what it used to be. The buying power of the dollar has been, you know, dropping. And that's also why China and Russia have both made overtones in recent, the last couple of years to try and supplant the dollar as the currency of choice internationally. It makes imports more expensive and leads to inflation. Then there's rising wages, which I kind of touched on a minute ago. So rising wages are a thing, man. And I was just listening this morning. I mentioned the Starbucks unionization. Just this morning, I was listening to, I think it was the David Webb show on Sirius XM Patriot. And was that a complete ad? I just did an ad. Anyway, I was listening to that as I was driving into the office. And they were talking about this very thing, about the fact that right now, I mean, how hard is it to be a barista, by the way? You have to unionize? Let me just run a quick rabbit trail here. Barista is not a career path. All right? Barista is a job you take while you're in college between classes. Barista is the job you do on the side. Or maybe barista is a job. There are very few I would call careerist baristas. All right, just saying. I would not be a bit surprised to find out there actually is some liberal university that ran a curriculum in which you could get a degree in barista-ing, but I doubt it. All said and done, unionization of the baristas at Starbucks are going to make Starbucks coffees even more expensive. It happens everywhere, though. And here's the other piece. It also drives down the economy. When the employer realizes he now has to pay the employees even more, and it doesn't match the margins by which the employer can run the business, the employer will choose to downgrade. The employer would do things like, oh, I don't know, how about put up the electronic kiosk at McDonald's so they have to hire fewer people? How about not opening that third franchise? How about limiting shifts or cutting back on hours so they don't have to staff it as much? This is the kind of thing that happens when wages get out of balance. So is there a call for minimum wage increase? Certainly. Are there times when you wish they could be paid more? Certainly. But the reality is it still has to balance. I still remember back in the day when I was in the legislature, we had a situation where Jefferson County was going to raise its minimum wage just in Jefferson County, or was it City of Birmingham, one of the two, to $15 an hour. They were going to be the solo place within the entire state of Alabama. We had to take action because while I do believe in home rule, there are also times when madness happens and it creates a patchwork quilt. And so if businesses recognize, you know what the Metro Birmingham area is? If suddenly the McDonald's, which is barely inside the city limits, had to pay $15 an hour, but they could hire people cheaper right across the line in Hoover, Homewood, Mountain Brook, wherever, at, you know, $9, $10 an hour, why would they open the new franchise? Why would they keep it open? Why wouldn't they just reconsider their overall bottom line and consider maybe even in the long term, maybe better for them just to build across the line? That's what happens when you get crazy and the liberals believe they understand the private sector better while they're in government. It doesn't always work out that way. That's why it's so important to have people with a business background get into politics, because they've got a concept of what it means to write a paycheck. All right. Last thing that actually does drive up the inflationary measures that we deal with, inflation expectations. And that's when the fear of inflation actually drives a business to make decisions that wind up impacting availability of goods. I saw this most recently. I was talking to somebody about doing something, and they said, yeah, you know what? I got to hold off on that, man. We got to see where recession's going. And this is a franchise. This is a big corporation that I did not expect to hear that from. And they said they're putting everything on hold right now until they see where the economy's headed in the next 6 months. That's inflation expectations. What that does, though, that fear of inflation, that actually prevents them from producing more or ramping up production because they're not sure what's going to happen. And then they wind up limiting, and next thing you know, they're also scaling back on staffing because inflation expectations can also cause inflation to continue going up. All right, demand pull inflation, cost push inflation, devaluation, rising wages, inflation expectations, but here's another big one. And here's where we're going to head in a few minutes. Government spending. When the government decides to spend wantonly and flood the market with cash and underwrite private industry over the backs of other private industry, and it decides to send people money, just to send them money, just so they can have more money. Next thing you know, buying power has gone up, but goods and services are not meeting demand, and you have inflation. And right now, we're looking at a administration who is working with its cohorts in Congress, and the Democrats have spent $3.8 trillion in new spending in their first 2 years. $3.8 trillion so far in their first 2 years. And I'm telling you, You wonder why inflation is at 9.1%? That may have something to do with it. All right, Boomer, take us to a break. That was Inflation 101, I guess. But take us to a break, brother. We'll do that. We'll come right back. I'm going to continue this topic. And then at top of the hour, you're going to want to hear my buddy Justin Bogey is the senior analyst for fiscal policy at the Alabama Policy Institute. He used to work at the Heritage Foundation. He wrote a piece recently about state and federal governments and their spendings and what it's doing to the economy. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative, just plain right, and saving the world one soundbite at a time. So just right as I was about to go back on the air, if you're watching online, you probably saw me studying the screen here in the studio. Just saw a guy, it's a guy named Derek Van Orden that I follow on Twitter. He's a House candidate in Wisconsin. Phil, why are you following a House candidate? I don't know. I saw something he wrote one time, and I thought, huh. So, yeah, he's a former Navy SEAL running for Congress. But he put out something just now, and I'm just going with it. I mean, I can't say that I've vetted this, but what we got here is he says, here's how much prices have increased over the past year for certain household goods and services according to the Labor Department. All right? Gas, up 44%. Airline fares, up 27.7%. Electricity, average increase 15.2%. Home food, just the average. I mean, like some things are more expensive than others, but food you buy for your home, 13.1%. The cost of a new vehicle, up 10.4%. Food that you buy away from home, which Charlene and I have argued, not argued, but have also talked several times about the fact it's cheaper sometimes to buy food at a restaurant than it is just to buy the groceries and take them home. Anyway, food away from home has increased 7.6%. Buying a used car, up 6.6%. Shelter, 5.7%. Apparel, clothing, 5.1%. The lowest increase, beer. Beer, 4.6%. I cannot explain that, except to say they would lose the majority of their market if it increased much more, I'm sure. But, yeah, beer, up 4.6%. I mean, anyway, no matter how you cut it, it ain't been good. But listen, FoxNews.com reporting that Inflation Reduction Act that Biden signed yesterday, the congressional Democrats had the party about. Democrats passed the $3.8 trillion in spending on their top agenda items since President Biden took office. Something they believe will help in the 2022 midterms, but the Republicans say is the usual tax and spend legislation that harms the economy. Now, I will point out, by the way, there are some Republicans that are just as guilty of this spending spree as anybody else. Democrats happen to be in charge right now. But literally, since he was inaugurated, FoxNews.com reporting an article dated today, Biden and congressional Democrats have spent about $3.8 trillion on their agenda since Inauguration Day. There's the $1.9 trillion American Rescue Plan. There was the bipartisan infrastructure bill, quote-unquote, $1.2 trillion, which a few Republicans joined in to help pass, by the way. There was the $280 billion bill designed to compete with China and a gun control bill with an extra $20 billion of spending in it. Both had some GOP support, particularly in the Senate, it points out. Then there's the Inflation Reduction Act, with estimates ranging, and it says 430 to 480, but I've seen them go as high as $738 billion. In total, Democrats' biggest agenda items have amounted to approximately $3.8 trillion in new spending in less than 2 years. You know, and here's a comment for you, and I agree with this. So Josh Hawley, one of the more conservative members of the U.S. Senate, Hawley says, Schumer has had the longest 50-50 Senate in history, and he has managed to get virtually all of their signature priorities through. And with, by the way, the most unpopular president of my lifetime and often with Republican help, it is really quite extraordinary, he said. Well, I agree. it's also really quite sad, because when you flood the economy with money like that during a recession, with inflation being what it is, you don't tend to drive the economy in the right direction, despite the fact that they believe they just passed the quote-unquote Inflation Reduction Act. All right, Daily Wire. What you got, Boomer?
I mean, just quick question for you.
Yeah.
Inflation Reduction Act, is it actually going to decrease the inflation?
Are you reading my notes?
No.
Did you look over my shoulder and read my notes?
I'm actually just asking because it kind of just, why did they name it that? Oh, there we go.
The Daily Wire. There you go. I'll snap my paper at you because that was actually the next thing I was going to talk about. Biden signed $740 billion Inflation Reduction Act, a move heralded by the Biden administration as a huge win. This is dated yesterday. The president and his administration have promised that the act will lower the cost of energy, prescription drugs, and health care. Most experts say no. In fact, the law will increase historic inflation and deepen the ongoing recession, says Alfredo Ortiz, president of the Job Creators Network. And then you've got others chiming in just as well. The bottom line is, even when asked, members of Congress could not define what parts of it would reduce inflation. All right, coming up next, my buddy Justin Bogie is going to wrap this up with us. He's with the Alabama Policy Institute, a fiscal analyst, talking about the spending of government and what it does to the economy. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.